LogicCast 170, 30 away from Big 200. We're banging them out. I think this is my fifth podcast in
Mondays.
In probably a week or something like that. I am joined by Donna Adazzoni from Suburb of Massachusetts.
Donna Adazzoni's a little wheezy today, but good morning, Gloucester.
I'm going to call you wheezy today. She's got some issues.
Don't sound good.
And Kim Smith is here.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Bearing pastry from Cake Ann.
Cake Ann, right. Right down the street. Just so everybody knows where it is, it's right up from the Common Crow.
Right, but it's on
Eastern Avenue.
Is that Eastern Avenue?
That's Eastern Avenue.
Before the Calvary Cemetery after Pond Road.
Right.
The next left after Pond Road.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of other businesses in there. There's a Trident Yoga.
Yoga. There's a hair salon.
There's the urchin. There's the Urchin Exchange is in
right.
there.
Right, is that the art and antique shop? Is that what you're talking about? Because there's a little art and antique shop now right next to KK.
Yeah, I don't know what the name of that
okay.
one is.
Yeah.
But Urchin Exchange is on the
Almonds?
Under.
Is it? I don't know. It looks nice from the outside. I haven't seen it.
Very nice. Kim brought us six pastries. They were $22, and they all look fantastic.
Wow.
Really good.
Which one are we going to start with?
you requested that we go less sweet to the most interesting one by visual. The scone, right?
The scone, right.
All right, let's all go bite into our scone. Okay. Right. And why don't you describe it for us, Kim?
Wow.
Boy, can you imagine that?
I taste bacon.
It's got bacon. It tastes almost like a scone quiche.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It does have quiche like.
Oh my god!
It's the bacon and the.
Is there egg in there?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
That is outstanding.
And there's what's that little herb there?
Oh
scallion,
my god!
Maybe. I think it's a scallion.
This is really.
Well.
Wow, that's addictive.
You like that?
That's
mm-hmm.
very different, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I like the crispy, crunchy outer edges.
Wow. That's delicious.
There you go. All right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm good.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So it's almost like a.
What do you think about?
I would say it tastes like an omelet scone.
Yeah, and easy to eat.
Yeah.
Very eggy, very eggy,
bacon,
and bacony.
Mm-hmm.
But without a mess.
Yeah.
Nice to serve.
Well, one thing they're going to serve that she wanted, one thing that they have on their menu that she didn't give us because they're not making them quite yet, is her quiche. So I want to. I really.
Good.
I want to zoom by there sometime when I'm going.
Best quiche I ever had
was
Sticky Fingers.
Oh yeah.
The first time they sent, which Sticky Fingers is in the middle of Brown's Mall.
Yep.
First time I ever ate it, I never had something so light.
Oh.
And delicious.
It was really good.
That was my favorite.
Yeah.
It was
okay.
So good.
Wow, that is.
I bet you they'll do a good one there. Now,
wow.
Why don't we go back up a little bit and explain what their. They have a certain nationality toward it?
I think so far everything I've tried there has been sort of French-oriented. And I just overheard Inga talking, and she went to the Culinary Institute in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but
mm-hmm.
she's not necessarily a recent graduate. This represents many, many years of trial and error to get, because everybody who comes in is, you know, as I'm taking photographs or chatting with them, is raving about what they've had, and they're there
mm-hmm.
for, they're there again. You know what I mean? They're there for.
That was.
They're repeat customers already.
Good.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
And it's very light.
Yes, I think that's what I like about it too. It's not.
It's not heavy.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go to number two.
Where are we going now?
The more of the, is this the Quinamon one?
Quinamon. This one
that's like a puffed pastry
yes,
almost?
Yeah.
Looks like a little turnover. So.
Yeah. You know what I would like her to do? I think you would love this.
Mm.
If she put layers of slivered almonds in this with some almond paste to make it sort of like an almond croissant.
Right.
Isn't that good? Very buttery, very
What
light.
Is the glaze?
It's just layers of puff pastry.
On the top, though, there's like a sticky part. What is that sugar?
Oh,
that's
sugar.
That's sugar?
Yeah, that's the sugar. It's the caramelized sugar from baking.
Yeah. That is very,
very
good. It's almost like a, it's very croissant-like.
It's like a croissant.
Like puffy puff pastry.
Have you ever had a palmier? They're a French pastry that they're also called elephant ears, and they go in a they're shaped like this, two spirals kind of pushed together.
Uh-huh.
So it's really it's almost a cross between a croissant and a palmier.
Mm.
It's the same, but it's all the same ingredients. Lots and lots of lots and lots of layers of flour and butter.
I love this.
Sugar.
This one is really good. I love this. More. I like this even more than the.
And you know,
the
lightness of it.
The lightness. I would like this like what Kim said, with powdered sugar and almonds on it.
Yeah, and you know what else is really good? I heated it up a little bit at home.
Ooh.
And put a little bit of raspberry jam with it.
Ooh.
It was to die for.
It was to die for.
And
I
also
love
I've
that.
Seen them at a shop in Santa Monica, where they had chocolate. So it's like a little I believe it's made like in a circular way, and then you push all the circles up together, so it makes like a little pocket.
Oh.
So and that's where you could put like almond paste or chocolate,
differentiate them.
Yeah. I mean, it's very good by itself, but I like, if I'm going to eat something like this, I want it a little sweeter, so that's why I would put like almond paste.
What there. Was funny was Kim. Mm. So Kim showed up with all these pastries.
That's
like
so
there was
good.
Six individual like little pastries, and but she also brought a bag with three hard-boiled eggs. And we got these pastries in front of us. I'm looking over at the hard-boiled eggs. Like, who the hell is going to eat those hard-boiled eggs?
Right,
like,
you know,
what was the thinking there?
Because, like, for me, I don't like to eat just, like, sugar on just, like...
Without any protein.
Without any protein or something like that.
I had an egg this morning,
I had an egg, too, but I didn't know about you. So I thought, well, you know...
It was a sweet gesture. But trust me, I will pound one of those eggs down eventually.
My God, those things are good.
We always have... for my son, I always make piles of... hard-boiled eggs, because it's just something he can grab,
mm-hmm.
you know, quickly and easily. You know, I learned about that in the airport in Paris, because all over France, they have big glass, containers with hard-boiled
eggs. Like apothecary
eggs.
Jars,
yeah.
almost, right?
Right,
yeah.
With hard-boiled eggs in it. So
are they in a liquid, or are they just dry in there?
No, they're just dry in there.
No.
Just dry. So if you're on the go, you just grab a hard-boiled
egg. We used to do
it and
take them
yeah.
to the beach.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, a little protein ball.
I know. It's the most, I think it's probably, when you break it down, it's probably the best value nutrition-wise than anything.
Full.
And it's so
it
simple.
Full, right?
Comes in its own packaging.
Yeah.
The shell.
And it keeps you
and
not hungry.
Why don't we get away from such simplicity? I don't know why.
But this is
what's
really
next? All right,
Kim, what
which
are we
one
going
we going
oh,
next?
Oh, it's a blueberry muffin. This is the one I think.
This is the
this.
One that Kim says.
I love this muffin.
It's the best blueberry muffin in that she's ever had.
No, mine are the best, but this is.
All right.
I love it.
Mm.
It's really
God, good. They're all good.
I think
yeah,
perfect.
This is really good.
It's not too sweet.
Remember the Jordan
it's
Marsh
just,
muffins?
Look, it's filled with really, really fresh,
mm-hmm.
yummy. Whole blueberries.
It does have.
You, yeah. Well, mine are better actually, but these are really, really good. I love it.
Have you had Last Stop variety English muffins?
Mm-hmm. It's good.
I like it.
It might not be sweet enough for me.
Is that sweet enough? No, there are sweeter ones out there.
Yeah.
This is how I make mine, but I also put lime.
They're good
in
though.
Mine.
I mean.
Yeah, they're very nice. It's a
yeah.
very nice muffin.
It's,
I love it. It's not it's not like a super sugar bomb. Like some.
No.
Not just sugar bomb, but.
Right.
I don't know.
I love
what,
it.
What was the part about this that made it like the best for you?
I love the crumb in it. It's very light and flat. It's more. You can tell it's got a very good quality butter in
uh-huh.
it.
And it does have the fresh blueberries.
It has very, very fresh.
Very fresh blueberries.
Whole. They're not like. They're big, the big full round berries.
Yeah.
And I like that. And I also like the how she does a nice crispy top on it. It's nice, like.
So far, I'm okay. So far, me, the Quinamon is
mm-hmm.
number one.
Quinamon.
Oh, sorry.
No, just.
Quinamon.
No,
Quinamon.
Just, yeah,
okay,
yeah. You want to teach people how to say it because nobody. Well,
absolutely.
No, right. Nobody knows how to say it.
I'll never know how to say it.
Quinamon.
Because it's spelled K-O-U-I-G-N.
Bananas.
Right. It's bananas
right.
compared to how it sounds.
So I go Quinamon, then I go scone, and then I go that muffin. Okay. How did it go for you?
Queen Amon, blueberry muffin, and then scone.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like Joey.
Yeah.
You got the same as me? Okay.
The Queen Amon. It's pretty good for me
what
to
is
say
the,
that.
What is the brand looking one? I wonder what that is. Is that like a carrot cake? Carrot cake.
Carrot cake.
Does it have nuts in it, do you know?
I'll taste it. I can.
You got? What are you going? Carrot cake next?
Oh,
okay.
If it
has you better. No, there's probably. You better stay away from that, Donna.
I taste a nut.
Oh yeah.
Stay away from that. Donna is.
God help me, not today.
Yeah, no, we don't need that from you.
I'll finish my Queen Amon.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Okay.
Oh, that was really good. Mm. Oh my goodness. Wow.
Very good. Yeah. That is very good. The frosting they use.
Wow.
Probably
excellent.
The cream cheese frosting.
Yeah, but it's very.
It's good. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's fun.
Oh, my God.
People listening to us, Eve.
I know. Sorry, we're eating.
we should talk more about it. It's very, very good. It's really carrot. Really, I taste the walnuts. It's very fresh and delicious taste.
Yeah, very good.
I love it. The frosting's very light, too. It's not...
I wish I could have it.
I'm going next to the...
The vanilla cream cupcake?
Vanilla cream?
Is that what it is? I should have asked
here?
What the name of it was.
It looks like... there's definitely cream inside.
Oh, my God.
The frosting
the
is
frosting.
The
we are like... The frosting's good.
That's bad.
I like the frosting.
Oh.
It's not too sweet. Again,
Yeah.
I agree. I would agree with that. Yeah. Okay.
I personally like things that have a lot of butter.
Yeah.
And sugar, not just, sugar and then vegetable oil.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
like
no. This is
really
all
tell
fresh.
You can tell
by even the color.
When people bake with vegetable oil, it's just not the same.
I don't bake. I can cook, but I don't bake.
That was really good.
Whoa.
Are you on the
Whoa.
chocolate thing?
Whoa.
Oh, this is the chocolate cup.
Joey's
Whoa.
Been waiting to get into that for 45 minutes.
Whoa.
This is the chocolate mousse. It must be like a chocolate mousse center.
Holy shit.
We'll have to find out from Inga.
That is... there's some product I've heard of.
Oh, my God.
And they called it Death by Chocolate.
I'll take
that
it.
That is like the most chocolatey thing I may have ever eaten in my entire life.
But not icky chocolate.
Icky chocolate. That is, that center.
It's got to be chocolate mousse in the center, I think.
Wow.
Because, again, you don't have that bitter.
If you are a chocolate person, that is, you need to get that.
Run, don't walk to Cake Ann if you're a chocolate person for those chocolate cupcakes.
We'll have to run after eating all this.
You're going to have to run. Yeah, that's over the top chocolate. Good. I don't know what that is. That's almost
is
more fudgy. That's not mousse because it's firm.
It's firmer.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I've already eaten mine. So
I do too.
Oh, I wish I had a picture of Joey just taking that bite.
Wow.
God.
I don't know what that is, but it is decadent.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was delicious.
Yeah.
All right.
Any more?
No.
All right, I'm putting this all by.
I'll sugar buzz today.
Oh, sugar buzz.
Oh, good. On top of my steroids, that'll be a blast.
Okay.
All right, there you go. You go.
Well, we should also mention
that they are carrying Atomic Cafe
coffee. Yep,
yeah.
I'm drinking that right now. It's really out of this world. It's very delicious. So.
Now,
is it cold brewed?
No, it's not. But they brewed it very quickly. So they ran out while I was there, but they had another pot within 5 minutes. So.
Now, is it... Atomic Cafe has a bunch of different blends. Do you know what blend that one was?
I think it said house blend, but they haven't... I overheard them saying that they haven't decided which blend they're going to use, so Atomic Cafe is meeting back with them again.
Oh.
Because they use different machines or different methods for each brew. So
you know what? I've said this. I must have said it a dozen times to
get that chocolate.
I must have said it a dozen times to our friends at Alexander's Bread Shop. That I think that their retail business would grow exponentially if they offered a good
coffee in there. Yeah,
because that end of Main Street
doesn't have anything.
I mean, they got Dunks, but I don't consider that coffee.
No.
Well, I think they're super, but on the other hand, I think they're super smart because they have this bakery, but then they have all those beautiful gifts, and yeah. they have their retail shop, so they're getting people in for the bakery, because just for example...
How many people do you see buying other stuff, though? Are they coffee?
Everybody says, I like a cup of coffee.
I think people that are running to work in the morning, yeah. right? They would. I think that they would say, oh, there. I can make this. You can't make two stops. You're not going to park, yeah, feed yeah. a meter, and then go to another right. place and feed a meter and go.
Right.
And
well, that's true.
Like, I think it would be brilliant if right. they... But, I mean, maybe here's a theory. Okay, here's a theory. Maybe they sell their pastries or stuff to other coffee shops so they don't want to seem like they are competitors.
When I was in there picking up some bread, I noticed their beautiful aprons. And then I needed a gift for somebody yesterday, and I bought the apron. So I think that's where they... I think that's a great connection for people. Like, you're in there, you're shopping for bread or something that you really need, but then you...
She 100% has an awesome mix of yeah. very cool, eclectic...
Recycled stuff.
I've always said... She should be a buyer for Target.
Yeah.
And because like she has a great eye
yeah,
for beautiful
yeah.
items. Alexandra.
Yeah.
I still maintain that they could sell $2 coffees all
yeah.
day long there. And
yeah,
with
right.
having the coffee, people would go in there and buy
She's
their
very,
baked goods.
Right.
Like
yes.
I think they could sell 100 coffees a day. That's $200.
Right.
Well, say it costs you Say on the high end, it costs you 50 cents a cup to make a cup of coffee. That's
right.
$150 in your pocket.
Right.
Then every one of those people is going to purchase a $2 bakery.
Cobble or
yeah.
scone or whatever.
Yeah. But she keeps it simple in there.
Yeah.
If you notice, that most of our bakeries, they keep things simple.
Yeah.
You know,
it probably has to be. Especially
yeah,
it's only a 2-person operation.
Yeah, right.
And maybe if they made it a 3-person operation, then they have to hire help.
Right.
And then you get into a whole different thing.
I think you see Virgilio's that way in cafe, and they keep their what they know they can do.
Their scones, their I think it's a cranberry scone that they make at Alexander's, are my number ones.
Yes,
so here's my rundown. Best quiche in town. Goes to Sticky Fingers. Best scone in town goes to Alexander's Bread Company. Best blueberry muffin goes to Last Stop Variety.
Yeah.
Best Queen Amon goes to Cake Ann.
And chocolate cupcake.
I've never had a chocolate cupcake so chocolatey for
no,
the chocolate lover
neither.
In your life.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the Queen Amon and chocolate cupcake award goes to them. And then, you know, you can only get cannolis and thin air
right.
between cafes and
Celia. And Virgilio.
Actually, Virgilio's also on Saturdays, Sclafani's over
yeah.
the top.
For like, their lobster tails, is that
No,
what
they make, they do cannolis, and they
style.
Also have those, the stuffed, they're like a, it's almost like a dough with powdered sugar, not powdered sugar, like sugar coating around it with the cream inside.
God, I gotta go brush my teeth after talking about
God almighty. Scafani's, Saturdays, the Scafani's is, oh my God.
Well, why don't we throw this out that anybody can bring us anything on Sunday mornings?
We'll take it.
We'll be happy to try it out on air.
Well, if someone wants to do the right thing and comp us the thing there,
it will be nonstop if we're comped.
And
I
then
think
we'll all be.
I think that people have figured out like
yeah.
a little, reaching out to us with a little nice gesture gets mm-hmm. paid back probably 75,000 times back.
Yeah.
So.
And the gratefulness of a lot of these, like the Honey Shack, she called me, she thanked me.
Oh, I'm so glad.
People
I'm
going
dying
in
going
there.
Well, and also, I want to say that about Alexander's Bread. Like, they've offered to give me things many times there,
they're
and
sweet.
I always say no. They're very sweet, and they've thanked us 1,000
mm-hmm.
times.
I've said the same.
They've
offered me, and I've declined from them. Cake Ann, when you went in there to pick these up and pay for these today, they said to you that a ton of thank you because so many
people
have been in there from listening to
right.
from Good
yes.
Morning Gloucester.
Yes,
So that's good work.
Good. And a couple of people actually during the week, I got a text from them asking where it was. Because
when we talked about it
last Monday.
We didn't say where it was.
Well, we did, but I think she just, you know.
Is the honey lady open today? Because I might take a special ride.
You know, I don't know. But it's fabulous.
The Honey Shack.
The Honey Shack.
Essex Ave.
Next to Tally's.
Donna, do you know how long they've been there for?
They've been there maybe a year. I'm going to say.
Oh, that long,
know,
huh?
I'm not sure. You know how time just goes by.
I got to get there. I'm like jonesing. Do you have any of those lozenges on
I
you?
Might. Yes, I probably do.
Can you spare one? If you give me a hamburger today, I'll gladly pay you back tomorrow. What was that, Wimpy on, what was that, Popeye?
Popeye.
Do you want
one,
Kim? I'll save it for later.
Oh, I'm saving mine for later, too.
Yes,
I love it.
They are great. And they stopped my cough.
They're the best.
When I was spazzing the other day, because I couldn't stop coughing, they, without suppressing, because you're not supposed to suppress a cough, because then you get pneumonia, it just kind of.
So nice.
Oh, my God, it was.
We should talk. Oh, Wicked Tuna is starting up its new season on Nat Geo. And here's something about Wicked Tuna. Like, it was like three, up until probably two or three years ago, people from around the country, like, were known as Gloucester, the home of the perfect storm.
Storm, right.
I think that totally
changed.
I think Wicked Tuna has taken over.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, the place
awesome.
Where the Wicked Tuna is. So many people come out.
Yeah. This is their fifth season, right? Opening, I believe.
And the tuna.com, there's a new boat. Is the new boat featured in this? I don't think so, because didn't it just get launched? I think they just picked it up.
I don't know, because it said, the story that I read online said that he has a new boat that makes him more competitive. So it sounds like it's featured in the episode. Mm. Yeah, so in the episode, upcoming episode, I don't know.
God bless you.
You giving me sick already?
No, I have asthma. No, I don't have a cold.
Wheezy. Kim, you went to see the new Coast Guard movie, The Finest Hours.
I just can't say.
I want to mention one thing, and then I want you to go through, talk about the movie.
Okay.
Cameron and Dean DeCoast, Gloucester men, were used as doubles in the film, so they're very excited about them. A lot of people know them.
I saw that post. I just want to put this out there. Usually we would go to the local cinema, to the Cape Ann Cinema, the one that's near the
Gloucester Cinema.
Gloucester Cinema. However, I did not want to see the movie in 3D. And the only time showing not in 3D was at 1 p.m. So that's why we went over the bridge to the Danvers Theater. Because I think it's great that we have these first-run movies there. So it is playing at Gloucester Cinema.
Yes, I saw that yesterday.
Yeah. So the waves are rolling. I spent half the time under my coat because I couldn't look. Because it was just so
suspenseful. You said it's very suspenseful.
It's very, very, very suspenseful. It's beautifully done. It's
Now, here's a question for you.
Sure.
I did not enjoy The Perfect Storm.
Because of
The horrible accents and the ridiculousness of the scenes.
Let me just say that... like, my friend Donna was a costume designer, and the costumes are fabulous. The story is a very compelling story. It's the greatest small boat rescue in Coast Guard history. And they really, really show that. They show this tiny little Coast Guard boat trying to rescue, the boat's designed for 12, to rescue 12 people, and they have to rescue 33 people aboard this tanker. So it's very compelling in that way. I would give the accents a B plus C minus, and
but you could get past that though.
Casey Affleck is.
Well,
fun.
I mean, like I worked in Chatham. Yeah. I did not hear people
true.
Talk like that.
That's
you
true.
I mean?
It was Chatham.
It's Chatham.
It's
you know
Chatham.
I mean?
That's true.
It's
right. So they did a Boston accent for Chatham
right,
people.
I think they're all going to the same bad vocal coach. I think compared to like. I think compared to, for example, Johnny Depp in Black Mass, he gets an A+. They get A-, I feel, in Spotlight.
Yeah,
but
they did a good
job.
But
I think they missed the mark with accents in this. But, you know, that's
but
just...
That's just part of it.
It's
and you say it's a compelling movie.
It's a fabulous movie.
As you see, Ed, you see kind of movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm on
must-see.
Under my coat.
The last the last must-see movie that you recommended was Spotlight.
Outstanding.
And that is every person that I have spoken to has said, you have to go see this movie.
Yeah, you do.
I have zero desire to go see this movie. And because the reason why is because, just the whole premise of, talking about the priests... raping young boys does not excite me.
But it's very well done. You don't have that.
It's not.
Is that the story, or is it more a newsroom story?
It's more news. That's the underlying story. But the way it's presented, it's very much all about what's going on in the newsroom.
Yeah.
That's why I think that you would like it. Because it's very interesting.
Editorial control and stuff.
It's not graphic like you would think.
There's no graphic.
There's no graphic in it. Because... I was worried too about. I don't want to know that.
When you put it in a historical context, it's very, very interesting. And also, I think you would just like to see how they have to do all their research because it's before online. You know what I mean? So they're running to the library and getting, bringing home files boxes and boxes of files and stuff like that. So it's very interesting in that respect.
And even the way that they had to keep it confidential.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, the confidentiality and all of a sudden realizing some of the priests may be living in the neighborhoods that they were living in. It was just,
There's also a lot of background about political background, between Boston, how they hushed it up at Boston College. And, so there's a lot of intrigue in that respect as well. They don't, there's no graphic descriptions like that.
But it's really it'll keep that. You... on the edge of your seat because we all know the story.
Right.
We all know how it ended. We all know what went on, but you still are mesmerized watching this movie.
And you come away thinking, Bernard, what was his name? Cardinal Law.
Oh, yeah.
He should be in prison.
Oh, he should have been in prison.
Cardinal Law?
Yeah.
Cardinal Law
should
be
in
prison.
There's just no doubt in my mind. He should be in prison.
And didn't he get... Was he the one that
he
went
got
to...
promoted.
Who's
the one that went
to the Vatican?
He went to the Vatican, yeah.
They got him out of here.
They got him out.
He probably knew he had to get out of here because he was going to get murdered by one of the parents
or
of one of these kids.
Or he was going to go to prison.
He should have gone. And in that movie, it really explained how...
I think the church lost a ton of people.
Absolutely.
But I really feel like they're coming
better.
Back.
It is coming back.
Because we have this very heroic
Pope
now. I mean, he's an amazing man.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it went all the way to the Vatican. They knew what was going on because Boston was where it was spotlighted.
Right.
But it was in Ireland and Australia and, was all over the world.
After the Boston thing, it came up in all these major cities. I mean, it was, before that, there was the Lowell cases, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
Creepy. That's what I'm saying. It just makes me like.
And when you think of your grandmother, and I would think of my grandmother, they went to church every day. Yeah. It was devastating for them.
So you think about this, right? Like an average, teenager is like, oh, geez, I got to go to church again. And then you have this. You're like, it's the easy excuse. I'm not going to church because of these individuals did.
I'm sure every teenager did that, after
I mean, think about the losses that they must have taken.
And also, it wasn't just boys. It was girls.
Right. Well, they focused on...
Oh.
They told girls that they'd be closer to Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
But also, the main...
That's
terrible.
Wrong.
Either way, it's terrible.
The young people that they preyed upon the most were children from fatherless homes. Like, they portrayed one boy who he had just lost his father. His mother was mentally ill.
So they did talk about this stuff.
So that was one or two stories that they highlighted.
But those were very public stories to start with.
I would like it. See, I like newsroom stories because I there's a lot of times where we have to make judgments on what we're going to run and what we're not going to run.
And what was interesting?
I mean, listen, I'm not trying to, pretending that we have the types of decisions that the Boston Globe, but I'm still saying how they handle.
Yeah, and also,
I think nobody better email to us to that.
Yeah,
effect.
The thinking that we're
What you I found really interesting when it first came out that it was buried at one time in the metro section.
Yes.
Someone had written a story about it and just kind of got buried. But when the Boston Globe got their new editor-in-chief,
right,
who was of the Jewish faith, could look at it from the other side. Yeah. Because he wasn't born and brought up in Boston. He didn't go to BC.
So scared, yeah.
So
wasn't afraid.
He wasn't afraid, where the others all of a sudden saw names of people that they went to school. And the priests that were in the schools, and then they realized, you know, how
it... But it is very much a newsroom story, so I think that's why you would...
In the emotion...
You know, this is the time of year where I can actually get to the movie theaters, too, so I got to start just... Even, Kate's not a movie person, and unfortunately...
You saw Black Mass, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
My God. I
didn't.
That's such a shame that it didn't come out, you know, around this time of year. That would have got awards.
Like, I think that's far more compelling than... Leonardo DiCaprio running around, you know,
in a bear, hiding inside of a bear,
fighting bears and stuff. Like
yeah,
that
doesn't. That one
like
doesn't.
Did that get an award?
It's going up for an Oscar.
It's going up for tons of Oscars.
Really?
Yeah.
They love him. Well, you know, the Oscars, they get their favorites. Like, you know, that who's the old lady now?
Helen Mirren.
No, the one that's every
Meryl
single
Streep.
Year. Who?
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep.
Oh yeah, but she's
it's like, oh my God, really?
But she
enough.
Is good though.
I know she's
right.
good. But Jesus Christ.
But I mean, I think that I like to go because we have our local cinemas now. I love to sit when you sit on a couch and watch a movie. How and you can bring in your own snacks at the KPN Cinema.
We rented straight out of Compton last night. And it's funny because Kate, like, it's so funny. Kate, you know, she grew up in the 90s. So she, like, the NWA, Niggas With Attitude, was the, you know, who the, they were the band that started gangsta rap and you know, they're big hit. And what really pushed them into the spotlight and made the, you know, got them so much press and everything was that song, Fuck the Police.
Yeah.
And, so I'm watching the movie, and you know the first couple of scenes are very predictable. Like you know, like they get you know they're just standing outside, and outside of the studio, and the cops just barrel up there. There's white cops, and they're like pushing them onto the you know they didn't have any drugs on them or anything like that. But they like pushed them down and like didn't were treating them very you know not the way policemen should treat you know individuals, and then you know. They're like, they're victims, you know, because of this. But they're talking about, like, all of their rap songs is like, are, you know, fuck the police. I'm selling coke. You're going to buy your coke from me, you know. And I'm saying to myself, you know, yeah, you're really a victim here. You know what I mean?
yeah.
You know, how many, you're glorifying all this stuff. And listen, I love rap music and everything else.
You know,
but it's just like it's hard to you know while I'm watching it and you know it's the way the filmmaker made the movie like you know these one dimensional white cops that are all
right,
rotten
yeah.
and then you know the black rapper who's a you know your hero obviously your hero they're gonna make him into a hero because you know they were persecuted for all these years you know just I was disappointed in the movie.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in that
One dimensional is the key, you know.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you could see that.
Stereotypical, too.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, there's bad cops. There's great cops. I think there's far more great cops than there are bad cops.
I think there's 95% great cops.
Right.
But as always, the 5% get noticed.
That's
right. In anything.
Just, okay, a perfect example, Uber, right? Uber, if anybody uses Uber, they're going to realize that Uber is the way to get a cab if you're in a major city. Yeah. It's not even a question, okay? But there's millions of Uber drivers.
Yeah.
There's you know one Uber
one
driver does egg. Has a bad thing does a bad thing and that so every taxi union it's their job to highlight that and put that to the
well it's like in anything I mean you know you can have when I worked in a college you could have 99% of the professors getting a good reviews when the students then you get that one person who's pissy. And that ruins that whole, you know, scale. And, you know, and it's you know, we say, look at this. It's 99% that are praising this professor.
You can say the same thing with the priests.
Yeah. Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Not all priests.
So many fantastic. Father Al's, at Our Lady. Like, yes. Probably the greatest priest I ever kind of came across as far as building a strong parish. Yes. And
priests are pedophiles. So,
right. Well, that's what we're saying. You know?
Well, what you'll learn, though, in that film, it was like, it was like one in seven something like that were...
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was.
Oh yeah,
one in seven that were like that. They had things against them.
Yeah, I don't quote me. I don't want to be quoted on
that's
that.
That's insane.
It was
pretty high.
It was very high.
Jeez, I'm glad. Knowing that I was an altar boy for all those years, I'm glad that I never had a bad experience.
Yeah, and I know people who had bad.
You
experience.
Wouldn't have been preyed upon because you came from a good family and you had. Not good or bad family. I'm just saying you came from a very solid family with a father figure. So that sounds outrageous, though, for that not to come to light.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. But also, it isn't just the fatherless kids.
Whatever it was, because they're going. So they at the end they got these files and wherever it said, leave of absence.
Yeah,
leave of absence, that's how they knew.
That's how
they started to.
And it wasn't just the fatherless kids, because I knew people at St. Eulalie's. And it's St. Agnes in Arlington, St. Brendan's in Dorchester.
But don't you think, I can't imagine, right? Oh, I guess there's the shame factor. You don't want your kid to be, in school as, they list his name as being raped by a priest, and then, he has to carry that around. They feel awkward, for the rest of their life.
Years ago, people...
So maybe that's why it was...
They thought priests were God.
That was the
remember
thing.
The song we used to sing in Catholic Church?
Yeah, but I mean, as a parent, if you find that out.
Well, as a parent today, but when my grandmother, she would have just been, that's blasphemous.
But
even though, I
wonder if they could let you, if you say something happened bad like that, that the kid's name wouldn't have to be used, right?
No, they wouldn't have to use the kid's name.
No, they didn't use
it. No names.
So maybe there wasn't I don't understand how there wasn't more parents losing
because
their mind.
They were afraid
and also because most of the families were very dysfunctional that the priests were preying on. They were preying on largely dysfunctional families.
Well,
and they preyed on a kid whose father had just committed suicide.
I don't exactly want to say whatever it was.
It wasn't one out of seven. Okay, we want to go back and correct that?
Yeah,
but it was a lot.
It was something that would astound you, but maybe not one out of seven. Right, okay. It was a huge percentage.
And when you think back, when I think back, especially one priest we did come out. My mother never let my brothers be altar boys in that church.
Really? Wow, that is a great
but
thing.
No,
of course
but
not
my
that
mother
that
knew
out.
That there was something not with.
So she wouldn't let them be altar boys
because she.
Oh, before
way
came out.
Before
came out.
Way
okay.
Before anything came out because.
Right, see, I bet.
But I lived in Somerville, but I think that, Our Lady, A Good Voyage here, and they were more of a compact. Community church.
Everybody
some
knows
of these
way.
In these bigger cities aren't, but St. Brendan's in Dorchester is a wonderful parish. That's where the little boy who died in the marathon went. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful church and a beautiful parish, and they prayed. That was huge. Fall River was another one. They moved them, though, see. And most of them, I think, were Jesuits, too.
They moved them.
They moved them.
Anyway,
okay. Let's go on. Yeah. Yeah. Kim, speaking of movies, we're talking about movies. We got off track a little bit, but you were saying that the movie that they didn't it just get filmed last. It was last summer, wasn't it?
Last March.
Last spring.
Yeah.
Manchester by the Sea got purchased by Netflix.
This is what I was asking you if. You understood more of the details, but it's... So at Sundance Film Festival, where they premiere a lot of films, typically it's just the major film studios competing for distribution of a film. However, this year, Amazon and Netflix came in with a lot of money and purchased a lot of films. So I don't understand what's going to happen to Manchester by the Sea. Is it only going to be for view on Netflix? Will you be able to watch it at the theater? I don't know what's going to happen.
It's getting great reviews.
It sounds like a beautiful, fabulous
movie. All right, I'm going to read to you this $10 million. Let me see here. Sundance. This is from Variety. Oh, come on. Get out of here. Continue to Variety. Here we go. Okay. Sundance. How Netflix and Amazon are dramatically shaking up the market. Let's see. This wasn't the first Sundance when Amazon Studios and Netflix hit the Park City slopes, but 2016 marked a turning point when both streaming services proved they are formidable buyers in the movie world. After a fairly low-key Toronto and Cannes, where some questioned just how serious Amazon was about its film ambitions, the web giant turned up the volume by landing one of the biggest deals at the festival. It beat out Fox Searchlight, Focus Features, and other studios for Kenneth Lonergan's searing drama, Manchester by the Sea, which received a rapturous standing ovation at the Eccles Theatre, reminiscent of Boyhood's debut 2 years ago. The $10 million sale could give Amazon its first front row tickets to the Oscars in 2017.
Yeah. Okay. So
they paid 2017 for it. It's gonna air on that on Amazon.
On Amazon, there's not.
So
it's not gonna go
to
theaters.
So what is it now? The new HBO movie?
So that's, I don't know.
So you can rent it, and you can watch it if you have Amazon Prime for free.
Okay, I better get Amazon Prime. I don't have it.
You don't have Amazon Prime? Do you have it yet?
I do.
Can you explain? Okay, Donna. You explain to Kim how crazy she is that I have Amazon Prime.
You need something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a big person on that kind of stuff, but...
Well, we have Netflix. So.
And I have Netflix, too.
Right.
There's a ton of crossover. Like, you could do away with Netflix and just have Amazon.
Yeah.
Well, so when you get Amazon Prime and you can see all these films, you also get free shipping and all that kind of
stuff. Right,
free two-day shipping.
Okay. Yeah.
Two-day shipping.
Two-day
shipping.
I know.
Like,
and not by a drone that's going to drop it.
Okay.
And your front door, yeah.
No, and music, like streaming music, like just about any song that you want to hear.
Okay, well, that's interesting because I just, like, so, for example, if I need to use music, I've been buying it through Amazon because their files are like an MP3
is, right.
And it's
you
not,
can deal, you don't have to convert it.
Right. So I just bought a friend of mine's old song, Peter Dayton, from the song The Perfect Wave, and I'm able to get, so even though he gave me permission to use the song, I won't have any problems with it now when I go to air it on YouTube or whatever because it's an MP3 file. Where if I buy it on iTunes.
I still got
iTunes.
Paul Morrison just walked in. Hi, Paul.
Where have you been?
Hi.
I just want to say something.
Yeah.
Even if you buy the music,
right.
I'm not sure that they let you use that in films.
No. So
do you remember I had a problem because Tom? Tom totally wrote me a letter saying you can use this song.
Right.
And I still got a mark on my YouTube account.
So, but what I'm saying is when you buy it through Amazon, I haven't had any, the problems that I had with purchases on iTunes. So anyways, I have permission to use the song, you know, et cetera, but so I'm just hoping that will continue. My new method of purchasing is through Amazon to get back to Amazon.
That's great.
Yeah.
How you doing, Paul?
He's been 9,000 miles away.
How many days until the Blackburn Challenge? I saw the post last week.
Oh, shit, I just made that up because I didn't even have a calculator when I did it. But 162 and a half, I'd say, somewhere around.
So we're close.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
No, Paul's eating one of our...
I'm the Blackburn Challenge diet, so...
Paul only shows up for the podcast when he hears this is going to be free food.
With frosting. Mm.
Well, you were in New Zealand, right, Mike?
Right. Yeah.
What were you there for?
Almost 3 weeks.
What were you there for?
Oh, what? Sue was there for science for 3 or 4 days, and I hung out with a couple of scientists, but mostly just...
Wow, one.
Yeah, but I didn't talk science with them. I just... I was the astronomer. I got to tell them... hey, look at Orion. It's up. Jesus, that thing's upside down.
Oh, that's right.
And
that's
the moon. The moon is upside down, too.
That's cool,
so weird.
That?
How funny.
And look at that, the Southern Cross. And, oh, yeah, what's that? Alpha Centauri, the closest star to us, is right there. I've never seen it in my entire life. It was kind of cool.
That's a long flight.
Going there, not that bad. Coming back, yeah, it was a long flight.
You put your posts on, I saw a lot of your posts on Facebook. They were wonderful.
Yeah.
What posts? Posts about what?
New Zealand.
About New Zealand on Facebook.
You got to follow me on Facebook.
Fucking Cox, follow you on Facebook. You went there and no, I never even knew about it. You didn't even post anything with a. You didn't pull up a sticker in New Zealand.
See, he doesn't even read his own blog.
Excuse me.
The 180 days till Blackburn. If you look closely at that photo, you saw my shorts on a beach, and I said I was naked. And there was a Blackbird Challenge shirt laying there on the beach with shells on it, and in the distance was. You know, some pounding surf that dragged me away. That's another story. But how could I make a picture of that unless I was somewhere where it was summertime?
Did you make note that you were in New Zealand? Or did you just assume everyone was going to figure out where you were?
I wanted
you
to
probably
leave
could,
it.
You could have thought it was from like last summer or
that's
something
wonderful.
Like that.
Well, I would have thought there might have been a comment like WTF, where are you? And then I would have said, then I would have humble bragged like, oh, I'm 9,300 miles from the man at the wheel.
You can't be humble. You just have to announce you're in New Zealand.
Yeah. No sticker, no nothing, no picture with a sticker.
No, not
happen?
Even a...
Where did it all go awry?
Didn't even bring the rubber duck, but...
Well, thankfully. yeah, right, because he wouldn't have put the sticker up. He would have put the...
But I did come back with...
cute.
This is
let's describe it for our viewers since this is a television.
It's a hybrid cow duck. Where are you going to mount that?
That's rubber duck's cousin called,
Elsie?
I was thinking of it. Like,
Elsie duck?
Kiwi cow.
Kiwi cow.
RD and KC. That's kiwi cow.
Did they?
I worry about you.
So you know what? You know
that took me an hour.
You know my obsession with barbecue grilling of the past
yes.
Year.
Yeah, that would be a.
So, in a lot of the barbecue blogs and Instagram accounts that I follow are based out of Australia. I guess charcoal grilling in Australia is insane. So I was wondering. The question I was going to ask you was, is New Zealand, do they do a lot of barbecue cooking?
Oh my God, do they do a lot of barbecue. I mean, if you, and there are a couple of things, I've never been to New Zealand, never even really read about it. I like to read about places after I've been there. It's like, oh yeah, that was weird. But I always knew that there were a shitload of sheep there because mm-hmm. all those jokes about, oh yeah, I've got my wellies in the rear feet in the, I'll skip over that. But you come out of the Auckland airport, and 2 minutes later, there's cattle on either side of the road.
Oh, wow.
And there's cows, dairy cows and cattle, and then there's sheep. There's sheep, winery and sheep. Sheep eat the grape leaves. They're the dudes who work in the wine fields cleaning it up. But if you... I thought that I'd be eating a lot of lamb there, which I did. I think I about every other day I had lamb chops, lamb kebabs,
mutton,
lamb vindaloo, mutton. Mutton's old lamb. No, little baby lambs, a little crispy on the outside. Oh, but because I saw so much cattle, you know, tried the sirloin steaks, tried the stuff like that, and unbelievable.
Yeah.
The beef and the lamb, I pretty much ate three times a day. Totally
now, were there roadside things that said barbecue, or what style? They're not really like country style, right? Or are
yeah,
they?
It's
how they set up.
But
on Spitz.
You know,
so.
I have a friend of mine who's going to New Zealand on Tuesday. And he's never been there before, and he's asking me, like, what, you know, we're just going to fly into Auckland, and then we're going to do kite surfing, you know, for a month, but tell me where to go, and how's it like? And I think that, well, he's from North Falmouth, so I'm going to tell Peter, well, basically, Peter, New Zealand is Cape Cod in 1967, where there aren't any highways. There's suicide, three-lane suicide highways, and everything is little cafe kind of places where you, you know, on Cape Cod you'd get the soft-shell crabs. Mm-hmm. Well, there you get your, well, they're totally into fresh coffee, the little and meat pies. Yeah, if you were barbecue, I don't even recall seeing it once. I don't recall seeing a pig once either. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're really into pigs. Maybe they had pork, but I think they might fly it in from from Asia, because every square foot is dedicated to little lambies and cattle.
New Zealand wool is very beloved by knitters. And
Sue was kicking herself because we were in Napier, and we find out later that it's the wool store center of the world. And she missed that one. Yeah. And we kept trying to find another wool place, and they never did find one. But everything's on the internet now, so
you
know, we can go to Napier on the internet and get little lammy wool.
Anybody?
But for the instead of barbecue, it's there's a lot of British influence. For instance, their breakfast is really shitty, just like the Brits in Bermuda or the Bahamas or in London. Don't ever eat breakfast. Same thing in New Zealand. But for lunch, the Brits do meat pies, pork, beef, lamb. You just go in, they're all freshly made and lined up, and you can get a coffee and a couple of meat pies and go down on the beach and have lunch.
Coffee and meat. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hey, that's my...
not too much except fresh seafood?
The seafood... The fresh oyster is totally awesome. The rest of the seafood, I gotta say, was kind of a disappointment, because you can't get within 40 miles of the ocean, but it's sort of...
What do you mean you can't get within?
You can't get away from... Yeah. Thanks for correcting me.
No, I didn't know what you meant.
I was like, isn't it an island?
Right, where the cliff's so high. I didn't know what you meant.
There's... it's the ocean is omnipresent. But
the fishing isn't that great.
If you're in London, it's sort of like, I gotta say, it's like London in 1967 or 73, where, avoid British restaurants, go to Indian, go to Thai, go to Malaysian.
Because they're so close to that region, so there's probably heavily influenced the cuisine.
And they just it's like the breakfast. They just Brits are really good at dessert, but Jesus, something, you know, they're.
I have no desire to go to England just for that reason.
Well, I mean it.
My bucket list. I'm dying to go to the south of France.
Oh,
just say it's beautiful.
Yeah, it
I'm dying to go there.
Yeah.
I'm dying to go. I've been to Italy and the Amalfi Coast, and I want to go back there again before I die, and to Sicily. But since I've been there already, I want to do new things, because there's only so much time left, and so I want to do like the Greek islands.
I would do the photo safari in Africa,
South what Africa,
like where Marty did.
Yeah.
Where's Marty now? Where are these pictures coming from that he's taking?
I think he's still in Morocco.
He's just putting up.
Oh, the pictures that
he
from before, because he's home now, right?
Yeah,
he's just old. He's going through his camera roll.
Yeah.
I got you. Yeah, Jesus, what photos?
They had a wonderful time when they were there.
It looks like a very interesting experience, but like on my bucket list, I want more posh things.
Well, he's been to Cuba too.
Right,
that's on my list too.
Cuba.
See, that's when you have a good life and you have been able to travel the world, and that you put Morocco on your list.
I know.
Then that means you've had a pretty good life.
Yeah.
Marty's had a good life.
And what was it last year? They went around the Cape of Good Horn. Cape of Good Horn.
We're going to pull the next duck out of your ass. You just pull out another duck.
That would be Brownie.
Why
that's all I got.
Why does this duck have a little odd-shaped head top? Oh, I was wondering, like, is it
it's
like
hot.
It's a cow. It's, in fact, it's got a tail.
I was wondering if it was like a New Zealand-shaped duck or something, but no.
It's hard plastic. It's not squishy.
Yeah.
You can't squeak it.
God only knows what he does with these ducks when no one's looking.
I'm going to have to redo her lipstick.
How are we doing with our list there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're doing good. Yeah. So, Donna, you're leaving from here afterwards. You're going to go to Cruiseport. They have their bridal show today.
They have their bridal show today. I think it's a fourth annual one.
Really?
All I know is this one in particular, they put out a huge marketing effort because I was on my car, and I rarely listen to the radio, but I heard their radio ad a couple times.
They did have a radio ad. They have... When I came here this morning, their vendors were already pulling in.
I talked to a bunch of their vendors that say that this show, get a ton of business
from
this show.
They get a ton. Kristen last year got four
weddings
wow. out of the show.
And Kristen's your daughter.
Yes. Yep. And she got four shows.
Wow.
I mean, four weddings. And I think three of them are actually at Cruiseport.
Tremendous.
And I think having it at the venue where you can have a wedding... Mm-hmm. is such a smart move because, like I said, I think last week that some you can go to a Boston hotel that doesn't really do
weddings
where they have the wedding
right.
shows and they're $30 to go in, but that's not the venue. Where here is the venue, and the boat is there, and the hotel is also booking weddings. In you know,
someone like I said, this is something funny. I read online, like, there's someone out there that is convinced. That the hotel, the only reason the hotel was built because they want to turn it into condos.
Oh, I know, I've heard that.
Like someone just said, "Oh, what? Do you see do you see the windows that they used? Those aren't hotel windows. Those are condo windows."
Like, what's the difference?
I'm like, oh my god.
I heard someone once tell me that if it was condos, maybe they would like to buy it.
And then I read, I don't think the hotel's gonna make it. They're trying to call it a boutique hotel, so it's gonna fail. And then we're going to be, I'm like, what do you care? It's not your money.
That's right.
What do you have to, what stake do you have in that thing?
Sherry will fill that with her brides.
And not, right. So, and they say, it's going to fail. Well, it's already booked out for weddings through 2017.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain with what they pay you for a wedding, the wedding's like $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 nowadays. Like, and they're booked out.
Yeah.
So, what part of failure we
do? Do they ever drive by Cruiseport and see the parking lot filled every day?
She has something going on
every
there.
Night. I mean,
and she turns that around. She can have the buoy auction one night and then a wedding the next day without even a blink.
Me nuts.
Yeah. But I'll be there to take some photos because it's actually fun. And you get to taste the food.
I'm dying for you. I'm dying. I hope you do.
God, I'm going to be the size of a cow by tomorrow with the food.
Kick in.
Moo.
Yeah. Moo moo.
Oh, God.
Here's a little bite of Queen Amon. Have you tried the Queen Amon? I didn't, like, bite into it. You want to try that?
I don't think you have cooties, Kim.
Paul said no to some food. Good. Donna.
So then I'll be there.
That ain't happening.
Donna, you got to take a lot of photos.
I am.
Thank you.
I will.
That's awesome.
And we're going to do the Fitbit challenge.
We're going to do the Fitbit challenge for sure. So we talked about this last week. Donna was wearing her Fitbit. Kate has her Fitbit. And I asked you to look into if there are some place that you could look at online results.
And you can also see your own stuff on your phone.
Right.
There's an app that I'm going to talk about.
But what I want, what I'm concerned about is if you are going to be able to, whoever signs up for this thing, that there's going to be a list of how, on a daily basis, of how everybody's doing.
Yeah, there is a thing that you reach out to people who want to join.
Yeah.
So they would have to let me know which ones, you know, and then we can see how we're doing. And I think it's going to be a great motivator for people to say, I don't want to only have 5,000 steps when that one had 14,000.
Right. No, that's exactly the idea.
Yeah.
So as long as people can sign up and we can have a list of the daily or where everybody's standings are, we're going to do, I think they call it a weekday. I forget what the term was. Weekday.
It's called Fitbit Blaze or there's
So we're going to do a weekday challenge. It's going to be like a Monday through Friday. We're going to launch it on
this week
the weekend.
Yeah.
We'll figure out when. Donna's going to do the post. And then the winner... I'm gonna donate a sweatshirt, one of the new Gloucester beach sticker sweatshirts.
That's great. That's a beautiful
hoodie. Oh, yeah. I said hoodie?
Yeah.
Yes. Hoodie, yeah,
it's
right.
It's a hoodie.
I wear Rick's all the time.
That's a big prize.
All the time. He doesn't have it anymore.
My mother doesn't take hers off.
Liv and Matt love theirs. You look so cute in yours yesterday at Passport.
I mean, it's just very comfortable. And also on the Fitbit, I want to make sure if people have the Apple Fitbit or whatever the other ones are, that maybe we can integrate, because not everybody just has this kind. There's all sorts of...
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
But
like
no. We won't be able to get that online report, so you can just take a screenshot
unless
of it and post
it. I don't know how that works, because some people have the Apple one.
There's one in here.
I understand, but for the
yeah,
sake...
Yeah, that's just a pedometer, though.
For the sake of
the
ease, and because we know that Donna has the Fitbit one, and this past Christmas, Fitbit was like a huge gift for people.
Well, and I think it's a good thing for New Year's resolutions.
Right.
And that's how we'll approach
you going,
that.
Keeps you going track.
And since I'm on steroids for my asthma, I did a lot of steps yesterday.
She's on steroids, like a steering wheel. She's not on steroids.
Steroids.
Oh, can I just
mention
my little
vocal coach.
Perfect wave. Little film that I'm making.
So yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little 2-minute short, and I took all the footage that I shot for B-roll for other projects.
Jonas?
Yeah, after Jonas. And I put it all together to this really awesome song called Perfect Wave by my old friend Peter Dayton. He had the Peter Dayton Band. It was for all the old rockers out there, it was La Peste first, and then it was the Peter Dayton Band. So anyways, it's an awesome song, and I think all the surfers are going to love this song, because it's kind of a song. It sounds just like the Ventures meet the Surfaris. It's a pretty awesome song.
But we all just aged ourselves.
I don't know any of the bands, but but I heard that you played the clip for me. It sounded,
it's really fun. It's really fun. That's also
You know that? Who did that song?
He's thinking of this
adventure
song,
the wave
song.
It was in Pulp Fiction. It was in Pulp Fiction.
With surf music, right? From LA.
You'll like Peter's music. This record was produced by Rick Ocasek from The Cars.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So.
Who's still alive?
Well, there's another flashback.
What?
Abe Vigoda is not alive anymore.
Right.
I know.
Rest in peace.
But this was recorded a while ago. But yes, Rick Ocasek is very much alive.
Is he still married to Paulina Porizkova?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then he's still producing tons of,
They're still married. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because they were like, he's a rocker. She's, Victoria's, she made the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Right, she was a supermodel. She was one of the original
first ones, yes.
Yeah, she was right there. And for them to be still married with that kind of, because the monstrous egos back then.
They have two sons. They have kids.
Awesome.
The last vinyl record I ever bought was The Cars.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You want to know that's something funny that you just said that? That's one of the first cassette tapes that I ever owned. Big Cars album.
Yeah.
I was down in Naples, Florida for the first time. My mother, this wouldn't happen today. My mother put my sister and myself, I think we were 8 and 9 years old, on a plane by ourselves to go down to Naples, Florida. My grandparents picked us up at the airport. I can't believe. Like, today they would arrest the parent.
The flight attendants are very good
now.
They do that all the time.
It was, when I was 9 or 10 years old, it was half fare. So my parents insisted on getting my sister and I always, they just dropped us off at Indianapolis Airport and go have a nice time. Yeah. Bye.
Right, that was back then, but today
they still do it today.
They still do it. The flight attendants take care of
because
I don't think if you had to make a change when you're 8 and 9 years old, like in Chicago, you would really want your kid.
It was really good to have a sister when you're kicked off the plane in St. Louis, that she's sitting there bawling her eyes out, and we get to D.C. on the next plane. There's no problem.
Oh, because you played it up. The Don, we talked about this recently about how the kids don't go to walk to school anymore.
Walk to school.
They don't go to the parents when they go to soccer practice. The parents sit there and watch the entire soccer practice.
See, I don't know.
I
you,
I don't know. I'll tell you something funny about that. Like, I used to drop my son off, and then I started to feel badly because all the other parents were there watching. So I thought, oh, I better stay and watch it with my son. And I mean, I liked it. It was fun, but I was just like,
but I think parents
when
don't
we were kids,
teach.
But my parents, my mother never sat to a, like, a we rode our bike to football practice.
Yeah.
We rode our bike home in our football pads, lugging our
but
helmet.
I think you're, like, for me, I taught my kids to be careful. So they could do it by themselves. I mean, I was 10 years old taking a bus to Boston, but I lived in Somerville.
But daughter, today they don't do that.
But they're not teaching their children to
be aware
of their environment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you just have to be aware of your environment. I don't think 4-year-olds
well,
should be
I
walking.
When I was a kid, how many times did you hitchhike to middle school?
Oh, I never
did. Hitchhike?
Yeah. All the time.
I knew it.
I'd hitchhike across.
Was this on the Cape? Cause
across Indianapolis 500, I hitchhiked across town to go to the race.
How old?
11.
Wow, that's crazy.
See,
today
it is a little more.
Right.
I mean, I think that today's environment doesn't. You know, when we talked about the kids on bicycles and things like that, when I was a kid riding my bike, there wasn't 100 cars going down the street at a time, you know.
Well, my girlfriends and I hitchhiked once on the Cape.
Once I did.
And I was 14. You know, it's before you're very vulnerable at that age because you don't have a car yet, but you're very eager to, you know. And we had a bad experience, so that was the end of that.
Yeah.
I hitchhiked in the Woods Hole every single day when I was in
but when you live in those kind of communities, like when I lived in Hull, who picked you up, you knew who they were.
Creepy fisherman.
Oh, well. Well, I lived in Holland. It was a little smaller,
you
know.
This was in Hyannis. Creepy guy in a white van.
Yeah.
Oh, white brake van.
Yeah.
Damn.
White van.
Not good.
And you got in?
And then we jumped out.
Yeah, the white van says, you know, free hugs inside.
Free candy.
Free candy.
Yeah, no, not good. Oh, damn.
Yeah, no.
We're going to talk about passports, and then we're going to wrap it up. But it's funny. Yesterday, I dropped off lobsters and passports, walked out, was getting in my truck to pull away, and I see Kim backing in front of passports. She ended up going to passports.
Yeah.
While I was there, I saw our friend D Noble happen to be there. And then I'm turning around to get back to the dock. Coming back on, you know, go down to Washington Square and then down Roger Street to going back towards, and I see Donna's husband Rick out of Zoni walking up the street.
Rick Moore,
up between Topside and you know,
yeah,
going
I was
towards
it.
And he was, and as I found out this morning, Donna and Rick were
happened to be there too. I mean, there was a lot of people.
And it was
packed
when I was there for lunch.
Both rooms were full.
Both rooms.
And
there was
lunch.
A line outside.
Yeah.
Killing it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I took a little photo of my lunch, so I'm just post that tonight.
Great. Yeah, they had their wine dinner, so always a no-brainer. But
I mean, it was so, I just find that so nice on a Saturday afternoon that there was so many
people
in there enjoying a meal, and then you meet so many people too. I mean,
as I was leaving, Lotus Marsh and her dad Jason and a group were coming in as well.
So, you know everybody in there.
Yeah,
I love that place.
Fun.
I know.
You know what? I got two more topics that we should talk. I wanted to talk about. No, I'll save one of them. But we'll talk. Okay, we'll finish with For the Birds.
For the Birds is the artist reception is today from 2 to 4, but then the gallery is open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so come on down and see, because I've seen some of the
artwork. It's at the Rockport
there.
What do you call it? No, Cultural Center.
Cultural Center.
Rocky Neck. I said Rockport.
Right,
Rocky Neck. Yep.
And if you want to find out more information, go to the Rocky Neck Art Colony website. That's what you Google, Rocky Neck Art Colony, and you'll get even more details.
There you go. All right.
And we wanted to talk about one more thing, the beautiful sunsets that we've had on Cape Ann yesterday.
And sunrises, they've been gorgeous.
Shore Road last night was packed with photographers, and it was just like people just were jumping out of their cars.
Well,
we're
having this fabulous January, February thaw, so people are just out and about.
It was orange.
The sky's
orange.
Please, God, let
Thank you. Thank you for knocking.
I want my boat in the water and three
weeks.
We can thank El Nino for this, right?
Yeah. Oh, please, let's hope we did not give it the motherfucking jinx just now. Please tell
me. Well, I heard, I don't want to tell you.
A year ago today, I don't want to see those photos.
We don't want to be so warm because the trees will break dormancy early, and that is a very bad thing.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Because then they can go back.
Well, we just don't want the snow from last year.
From last year.
I wouldn't mind a nice big storm.
Oh, my God. Hush your mouth. Hush.
From my mouth to God's ears.
Paul, because I'm fascinated with wood stoves and pellet stoves. Do you have a wood stove or a pellet stove?
Wood stove from Cape Ann Chimney over on Pond.
Oh, you got it from
them? Just went in, and the one right in the middle with a nice glass front. I've had it for 3 years, love it. And I've got wood in my backyard, but I burn
bio bricks,
because
we
just,
we do too.
Do you want to get, is your wood seasoned?
Oh, it's seasoned all right. I cut, some of it 6 years ago, and it's melting away. And then I've got middle stuff, but I've got seasoned wood, but still, it's you stack.
Do you have any you want to give away? I ran out of So here's my story. I bought it. I bought some. The guy said it was seasoned, and he dropped it off, and I didn't know the difference between what seasoned wood looked like and what not seasoned looked. And now I do. So he dumped it off. Beautiful wood. I'm like, wow, this is gorgeous. They're beautiful pieces of wood. There's no dirt on them and everything. They're really beautiful. So I took care. I built this wood stand to hold everything. I have a system. I got it stacked up in the basement. And I got the big thing inside the house. And I'm ready to go for the winter. And I had a little bit of, seasoned wood from last year that I could still use. This stuff won't burn. It's not
seasoned.
Get
some bio bricks that might help.
Well, I got to get through this. But if you have any seasoned wood that you don't mind, wouldn't mind getting, because what I do
I don't want to announce it over the blog, but you could stop by and grab quite a chunk of some ultra seasoned wood. But let me just do a.
Do you have a dog in your yard?
Yes.
Is there a dog?
Stella.
Oh no, Stella's all right.
Yeah, Stella's
she's just licking to death.
She's not
look at Joey's face.
But that,
but if there's a dog, they can bite you.
Let me just do one small quick plug for John Palazzolo's Rockport Stuff group on Facebook. I read it once a day for 20 seconds just to keep up with Rockport Stuff. And I had Brandon drop 8 oak trees in my backyard. And then I went, holy shit, I don't have anybody to chip it or cut it. And I just said, hey, Rockport Stuff, anybody out there want some nice, fresh oak? We can chop it up for you. And the next day, I had 2 front-end loaders racing around, chopping it up. They chipped it all for trade.
Oh, that's the best.
For trade of what? So what did you get out of the deal?
She got all
it done.
All the chipping brush disappeared. All the wood disappeared. And
what did you get?
He got it all.
He got it done.
I got it all gone.
Right, because you.
You had trees that wanted.
Yeah,
you had trees.
Trees were diseased, right?
No, I just want. I've been reading this blog on Cape Ann about solar panels, and I'm thinking of putting solar panels.
Yeah,
I
bet you have to get rid of the trees.
You don't have to get permission to cut down.
You got to use that. Did you go to that Energy Sage website?
Yeah.
Did you go to Energy Sage website?
It's on my bucket list. I'm waiting for somebody to tell me that if I get one of these, that the deal where I get the solar panels, I get the Tesla battery, and I get all the breaks and deals and stuff. I'm waiting for that one.
Isn't it called Gloss to Go Solo?
No. Listen to me right now. The Energy Sage, they're totally impartial, right? They have, so all you do, and there's no, you don't even have to talk to anyone if you don't want to. You just put in your address, right? And then they have people that they're all vetted, different solar companies put quotes, and they put it into your system, right? You still don't have to talk to anybody. There's no obligation or anything else. Mm. Then they give you it's a standardized, the way they have it, the different solar companies have to enter their information into a standardized form. So they tell you what equipment they're going to, each thing they're going to use. And Energy Sage has each different type of panel already rated, so you can compare apples to apples. Mm-hmm. So someone might give you a quote for X amount of dollars, or you're going to save this much money, mm-hmm. but they will say how efficient these particular panels are versus the guy that's in the very next column. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting.
You have nothing to lose. Okay.
And they'll let you know if you are a good candidate.
Oh, they'll tell you right off the bat.
Well, I'm a good candidate now. I've got blazing sun from you have southern 9 exposure? In the morning to 4 o'clock on a nice pitched, shop roof pointing directly south.
Oh, you're set.
I had that in Burlington. We had solar
people. I was talking to a guy that had it done. I talked to him last week. He gets a quarterly check. He's not only is he not paying electricity, he gets a quarterly check. No, different guy.
I know
that went through Energy Sage.
Like
you saying Energy Save or Energy Sage?
Energy Sage. I'll send you the link.
Okay. Yeah.
All you have to do is enter your thing.
Right.
You don't have to talk. You don't have to talk to anybody, but if you have any questions, and they're not selling you anything.
Okay.
If you have any questions, there's a chat person that will talk to you, or you can call. They will talk to you and explain any question that you have. They'll explain it to you. And so, if you're comparing like 5 different quotes from different, they can tell you that what's the pluses and minuses of everything. Because there's a lot there.
Oh yeah.
And then even at that point, you still have no commitment. There's no commitment at all.
Right.
All the way through this process.
And that's a no-brainer if you have the location.
We do have the location.
You have southern exposure and everything.
It's southwest,
but no trees.
And no trees.
Yeah, you're set.
See, I have trees across
the
street from me. Because my street's so small, it's caught,
Creates shade,
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I don't know. I got to own a house, but once I own a house, I wish I could build a house, because I want to build a house. I've said this a million times. People are sick of hearing me. I want to build a house around a pellet stove. So I want to have a pellet stove in a room that's a cozy room, and then build the rest of the house. I don't really care what happens after that. And I want to have solar panels. I want it to be
super energy efficient.
There's a house in.
But I want it to be cool. I want it to be I always feel like I want to do the research. I was never into this before, but now they have all these websites now with these cool homes that are off the grid homes. I don't want to be. I don't want
to
be inconvenienced.
Right.
You know what I mean? But in my energy saving or whatever. But I want to be less reliant.
You've definitely sold me on, I'm going to do it this afternoon. I'm going to sign into your website. The one question I'm going to ask them, though, is in Western Australia this week, the Tesla batteries are being installed into houses. I want to be the first one on Cape Ann to get one of those puppies.
I'll send you
my solar panels.
I'll send you the link.
My daughter and son-in-law in Maine have. They're all solar.
They are.
Yeah, they have the solar. But I mean, it's another no-brainer. I don't know why that all new places don't have them.
They have the solar.
Solar. They got the solar. There's
a
house in
Magnolia
that's off the grid.
They have a wicked party after the solar.
They have the solar.
Again, I should be in these Boston movies. What a waste.
Yes, you should be a vocal coach.
I don't even know I do that.
They
you should
have
be the vocal coach.
I was in these thermal pools last week. And it's the sulfur dioxide. And somebody on the other side of the pool said, "Who farted?" And it's
Paul, what email? What email address is best to use? The .me one, or the DFCI
Morrison
one?
@mail.
Wait, are we still on
DFCI?
Live here?
That's right. What?
Yeah. Oh, I'm. My email address.
Which
is
one? The DFCI
for,
one or
yeah.
the
yeah.
DFCI one?
Have it
with an R.
Kim, I'm gonna send it to you too.
Okay. Yeah, please do.
Donna,
I'll go on.
Okay.
But I know that they came in because of the trees and across the street from me can cause issue.
I was very excited about all the things you were posting last year. However, it was in the middle of the wedding. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So now I have no excuse to get
Oh yeah,
get
for sure.
It.
No,
yeah.
definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, good Gloucester County. Anybody have anything they want to add in closing?
Have a good week.
Have a good week. We'll see you. When is your group of merry picker-uppers going to start?
We're Is that what we're doing it on our own sometimes, and then we'll just grab a beach to go to. But during the winter months, it's really tough to be out there. But everybody, please carry a bag with you, because Good Harbor Beach got slammed trash. Yeah. During the last storm, it was really...
I thought of you the other day, because when I was driving by Good Harbor in the marsh, I saw like 50 plastic bags.
I almost went out of my mind.
Wait. Let's have an is there any updates since the last
time? Not yet. Hopefully that we're going to be able to
keep
be
up,
in
keep
the
us
bag.
Informed for when the next meeting and stuff. So what steps that's
bag.
Happening? Reduce the bag.
The bag.
All right. Gloucestercast 170 in the books. This is a long one. There's an hour and 20 minutes.
What?
I don't know if we've done it.
What the hell did we talk about?
The rubber duck. Blah, 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 blah.
We ate.